Hey, this is Pastor Jay Lee, and you're listening to the Daily Sabbath Podcast. Okay, so today we are doing an interview in a series of interviews on the topic of being spiritual but not religious. And sort of the background for this is I did a series of blogs and devotionals on the topic of being spiritual but not religious, and I got a lot of response. There was a lot of people who were really interested in this topic, people who were Christians, people who were not Christians. And so I really felt like there was something here, something to this topic that I wanted to look more deeply into. And, you know, obviously I can kind of have my theories and my guesses of, you know, why people identify as being spiritual but not religious, what they even mean when they say that. But I think it's always better to just ask somebody, right? Somebody who actually identifies as being spiritual but not religious, and just kind of ask the questions and hear their stories. And so my guest today for the interview is Katie Lister. She is a registered nurse, actually in Canada, our neighbor to the north. But she's also involved in women's groups around personal development for women. And she's soon going to be a fellow podcaster, and she's going to be starting a podcast around personal development for women. And Katie, she actually responded to a request that I put out in a podcasting group asking if there was anybody out there who identifies as spiritual but not religious and would be willing to just kind of share their story and let me ask my questions. And so Katie was gracious enough to respond to that. And so Katie, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast today.
Of course. Happy to be here, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and actually, you know, just out of curiosity, like, could you share a little bit of, like, what the podcast will be about and kind of what some of the themes will be that you'll be talking about?
Yeah, definitely. So just explore throughout the years what I'm the most passionate about or what my calling really is. And I absolutely just love to share wisdom and experiences and stories. And I find a lot of it is around self-improvement, how to step into your power, your purpose, or how to overcome self-limiting beliefs, or how to engage in proper self-care, or set boundaries with friends, and how to overcome a breakup, or all these things that people go through. So just to really have a platform to discuss some of these real, meaningful things that happen in life. And it will likely be geared towards women, just to focus on that. But yeah, to just share personal stories, but eventually bring in experts in different fields as well. Like, it'll kind of be wide ranging, and perhaps I'll niche down a little bit as it goes. But yeah, we'll start with that.
Great. So it sounds like I won't exactly be in the target demographic, but I'm still going to listen. So, but yeah, I'm excited for you.
Maybe you will be. Yeah. Appreciate it.
All right. So let's just jump right into it. We've talked a little bit about your story already. And so I know that you have some background already in the church. And so I was wondering if you wouldn't mind just kind of sharing out, like, what is your background in Christianity, in the church, or just in organized religion in general?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I grew up in a Christian home. Both my parents are Christian. Both their parents were. So I went to church starting as a young baby in a Baptist church until I was 10, and then an Alliance church in my preteen and teenage years. So yeah, definitely grew up in that space and in a religious home for sure.
I see. And so what was kind of your experience with that like? Were you first of all, would you say that your family is pretty devout? Or is it like, they just kind of, you know, it's part of their routine. It's not like super important to our family, but, you know, it's just something that we do and have always done.
Yeah, they're quite devout for sure. Like, you know, go to church every Sunday, pray before meals, like very, that's their values, and they stick with the traditional views of the church and of the Bible as well. So the classic typical, like, no sex before marriage and no, like, all of those, that was part of the, that very important, very instilled within me as a young child and beyond. So, yeah, to this day, it's definitely a huge part of their life. It's not just the, oh, go to church on Christmas and Easter, or
it's a part, a huge life. Part of their lives. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then what about for you? So, would you say that when you were younger as a child or even as a teen, that you were also kind of devout, or how important was it to you? Or were you always just sort of kind of on the fringe of it?
As a child, I definitely was. Like, it was a huge part of my life, I think probably because I didn't know any different, right? Like, mm-hmm. your parents as a young child are your world. And I had really good memories of it as a kid, like being, you know, part of the little kids choir, and all the Sunday school was really fun. And so that, my cousins, you know, it was a huge thing within the family. But as I grew older, it's like in my early teenage years, that's when I started to just kind of drift away a little bit. Like, I had friends at school and started questioning a lot of the values of the church, and didn't really sit well with me. So it was at that point that I kind of started to drift away a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was kind of in the high school years, sounds like?
Yes, yeah, definitely. I felt probably around age 14, I felt like I was kind of living a double life. Like, mm-hmm. I was still going to a youth group in the evenings, and really, some of the things were really resonating with me. I can't remember off the top of my head now, but I was like, yeah, like, I believe in this. But then I'd go to school or hang out with my group of friends that weren't religious. And I was like, you know, felt like, and I wouldn't share that part of my life with them. So I just felt like I was, and yeah, so that part was difficult. But then as time went on, I just resonated more with my other high school friends and drifted away from the church.
Gotcha. So, I mean, it's not like you just disagreed with all of it. I mean, there was a lot to kind of the Christian teaching that you agreed with or liked, but it just over time, the things that you were kind of repelled by just kind of slowly overtook it, sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, just a lot of our values in society, not all, but a lot of them are in alignment with the church, right? So, like, some of the morals, like, do unto others as you would want done unto you, like, that was, you know, I was like, yeah, of course. And so that was really, I still resonated with that, but some of the rigidity, like black and white thinking, like kind of the isolation of people that don't follow these set of rules, like those kind of things about the church really kind of repelled me, as you said, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, if you wouldn't mind kind of like, and I promise, like, even though I am a kind of a pastor, I'm not really practicing as a pastor currently, but, you know, I'm like obviously this Christian person. I promise I won't be offended, but if you wouldn't mind actually just kind of going a little bit deeper into that part, like, you know, if you remember, what were some of the specific things that you really felt like grated against you and sort of were repelling you?
Yeah. Anything like gay marriage, for example, like it felt like in my church, at least, like that was very wrong. Like, you know, transgender, switch, anything like that. All of that realm was just not accepted. As I mentioned earlier, sex before marriage. I really like the shame that goes to that. Abortions, like the anything. Those were like the main ones, at least in my teenage years, that I just, and now, of course, still to this day, but I just couldn't shake past that. I'm like, how can this be wrong? Like, it just doesn't, if somebody's not intentionally hurting somebody else, I don't see how this can be wrong. And so those specific ones especially were really difficult for me to, like, I just couldn't agree with that.
Yeah.
And then I had like a personal example, if you want to go there, when I was maybe 20 or 21 years old, I had my first boyfriend who was like a good friend of mine who actually happened to be a roommate of mine in a student house with a few other people. But anyways, and him and I started a romantic relationship and we were really close. He was like my closest male friend. And I had found out that he had cheated on me and I was absolutely heartbroken, like first major heartbreak ever, of course, and go home back to my parents' house and was up crying all night. And the next morning, my mom, I told her and she just knew that I had, this was the first time that she found out that I had sex before marriage. It was, and she just, I just really needed her to be a mom, like to be just supportive in my like heartbreak, like my, the, one of the most painful experiences of my life. But instead it was just so much disappointment and disapproval that I had done that. And she felt so, like she was clearly very disappointed in me and took and said that out loud. And it just, that really just kind of turned me off. I was like, how can this, and that of course doesn't necessarily represent the church itself. It's that, you know, every individual is different, but that just that value, like how can that be so strong? I'm like, I, in my opinion, I'm like, I didn't do anything wrong here, you know?
So, I mean, like, it sounds like that, that experience really exemplifies kind of your feeling about the church and Christians and sort of their, like what you say, the rigidity, right? Where it's like, here is a case where you are clearly hurting, right? You've just experienced something extremely traumatic. And rather than coming to comfort you and to, you know, to be there for you, she's just kind of fixated on this one thing, which is, wait, you had sex before marriage? That's wrong. And it's like, she can't get past her condemnation of that to be able to actually comfort you and be there for you. So, and would you say that that kind of exemplifies what you've kind of more of a general feeling about what maybe the church is like?
Yeah, definitely. Like, and I know that's not the case for everybody, but it just seems like that, like organized religion to me is like these set of rules and these sets of, you know, this is right and this is wrong. And it does seem like there's this shame, like people, another huge part was like, I've noticed in my family as well, this is like this fear of sharing, like if you have sinned or done something that your family or the church wouldn't approve of, like it's, it can be so isolating because at least in my experience, often people are not super open-minded about that or accepting or loving. And I know that's exactly not what it should be like, but that's just from my experience, the way that sometimes the church has been. So there's a lot of, you know, like everyone's putting on a good face and white picket fence and there's no issues in the family because, you know, divorce is not an option. And like all these things, like that was another one, divorce. Well, like that. That being, not an option as well. That kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But anyways, just like, and I know that's not always the case, but that just really, I'm like, oh, can we not be honest and open with when we do go through difficulties or if we do feel like, you know, if that, so that just kind of has rubbed me the wrong way as well.
I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, in your observation, I think it's kind of, it's, there's this weird tension, right? Because on the one hand, you know, Christians, we preach that, you know, grace, right? That God, like Jesus came down to save us and to offer grace freely. It's not something that we earn. You know, all of us are fallen. And so we all need grace. And, you know, God is love. God is, you know, compassionate and all that stuff, right? These are all the things that we preach. But then at the same time, but it seems like a lot of times people feel like, they can't really be honest about their struggles, even though, you know, one of our central beliefs is that we're all fallen. We all make mistakes. We all have weaknesses. And so we all need grace. But for some reason, that doesn't a lot of times seem to work itself out in the actual way that people practice their faith and can be honest with one another. And so I totally agree with your observation. I see that too.
Yeah, definitely. You've seen that in your experience, like leading or being part of the church? Have you seen that, or is that something that's maybe more just from my experience here?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think I've been fortunate where the churches that I've been a part of, I don't feel like we're very judgmental kinds of places, though. I mean, I definitely have been a part of some in my younger years that were a little closer to that. And then the church that I'm involved in now is much more progressive. But I mean, I definitely have seen and felt that pressure. And some of it, I think, is self. I mean, I don't know if I can blame it always on the church, but I think some of it is like self-induced, right? Where it's like, even though I know, you know, what this Bible tells me, what Jesus says is that, you know, that there's grace available no matter who I am, no matter what I've done, that I still sometimes feel that internal pressure of wanting to hide away my weaknesses and hide away my, you know, right? Like there's still that internal feeling of shame where maybe it's not necessarily because the church did it to me, but it's like almost like I do it to myself, and I don't feel like I don't feel safe enough to share it. So, you know, it's kind of like the chicken or the egg, right? Like, is it coming from the outside or is it coming from the inside? I'm not always sure.
Totally. Because I think that's just a general theme, right? Like, we all have this shame in us when we feel like guilty about something, or whether that's because of the what the church is.
I definitely think.
So it could be either or.
I definitely think sometimes it's just our own internal thing. But but at the same time, it is definitely true that there are a lot of environments, a lot of churches that, you know, no, that pressure is coming from the outside where, no, this really is not a safe place. Don't show your true struggles because people are going to judge you. You are going to be rejected and you will be ostracized. So, I mean, that's definitely true as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, was there sort of like a specific moment where you just kind of finally decided to rip the band-aid off and just be like, I'm not doing this anymore? Or was it just sort of a slow fade away from Christian faith and the church? Like, how did that go down?
It was definitely more of a slow fade. Mm-hmm. I think in like mid-teenage years, I kind of made that decision, but was still, you know, fearful of my parents, what they would think, and my extended family. And so I kind of put on a show for them for quite a few years. So I would still show up to church at times and still, like, you know, just nod and smile at family gatherings. It wasn't until, you know, in my mid-20s maybe that I had conversations with my parents that were quite heated and just about really where I stood and how I kind of rejected the church, I guess, and have my own different beliefs now. I'd say more of the slow fade.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have actually had those sort of open discussions about it with your parents?
Yeah. I mean, they were a bit more heated back in the day because, I mean, my dad was just, of course, he's my father. I love him, but he just like he's kind of one of those people that talks the talk a little bit, like has his own sort of set of rules. Like, yeah, he shows up at church, but he doesn't really treat the cashier very well, or isn't part of the community and kind of judges a lot of the other people. So I just like got really frustrated by the hypocrisy of how he lived his life. It just didn't seem very in alignment with how the church would want him to. So I think I have had those conversations, and at first they were quite heated in terms of, you know, arguments that, you know, we have different values, but then now we definitely don't see eye to eye, like my parents and I, but I think they're aware that, like, you know, I've said that I believe what I believe, and I think they're, you know, deeply hurt and disappointed because of their values, like, but they also know that I'm an adult and I'm going to choose what I choose, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just really kind of curious, like when you have had these conversations with them or do, I don't know if they happen currently as well, but like in the past when you did kind of express like, no, you know, I don't think I really believe this, and so I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to go to church anymore and things like that. Like, you know, obviously they're trying to probably persuade you otherwise, but like, I'm just kind of curious, what do they come back to you with, like, in terms of like reasons why you shouldn't do this, like reasons why you shouldn't walk away from Christianity, or, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just kind of curious, like, what are the reasons that they come back to you with?
Well, just like, they say, oh, like, this is the truth. Like, you need to, it's a bit preachy. And I think that's what also turns me off about it. But it's like, this is the Bible is the truth. Like, this, mm-hmm. You're not going to go to heaven or have eternal life. Like, this is the, like, we're really, you know, concerned and just disappointed that, like, they're just like, there is no other way. Like, this very black and white thinking, like, oh, that, like, us versus them, like, oh, this, the, you've just been convinced by the university or by people out there, like, all those, that this way. So, yeah, it's for me, it's not, it never really made me want to join again.
Yeah.
And I know that's not everybody, but I think, I know this is kind of veering off your question, but the way they live their life, it's not really exemplifying as much as what other people that I've crossed paths with that have gotten me more curious, like, oh, okay, maybe there is something there. But with my parents, it was just kind of like, oh, you're not going to go to heaven. It's kind of their biggest argument or thing that they come back to me with. And I'm like, cool, but I don't, like, I don't necessarily believe in that black and white kind of way of thinking.
So it's really, I mean, there's really not much more engagement beyond, this is the truth. You have to believe it. I mean, this is the word of God. And if you don't believe it, then you're going to hell. And there's really not much more engagement beyond that of like, I don't know, like, I'm just kind of thinking like, if those conversations could have happened differently, right? Where maybe you would feel like, okay, now this is, you know, this is a conversation that I can engage with, or this is a conversation that would make me feel like, okay, you know, we're really having a dialogue here. Like, I mean, maybe that's what it is.
Totally.
Like maybe
totally.
There isn't so much of a dialogue about it with you.
Yeah, exactly. There wasn't much of a dialogue, or isn't. It's kind of black and white thinking and like, you're right, I'm wrong. And there's not much of a conversation, unfortunately, that could be had that, you can't just convince somebody to believe in a certain way by telling them that they're wrong or telling, like, explaining that you're right and that that's the only way. Like, there has to be more of a deeper dialogue and more meaning behind it. And so, yeah, I just didn't really get that from my family, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe, you know, in an ideal world, maybe there would be more of like, okay, so Katie, what is it that you believe? You know, tell us more about what it is that you believe and why you believe that. Or maybe more like, well, I mean, so obviously you have questions about the Christian faith or the Bible. So like, what are some of those questions, right? Like, maybe in an ideal world, would a conversation like that be something that would be more conducive, you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think even you touched on the first point, like the, when you were just asking, though, like, what do you believe or what? Like, getting curious, I think that there was none of that. And I think that's so important because it's acknowledging, like, my experience. Like, it's not making me feel all this shame or that I'm doing something wrong. It's just like, being like, okay, like, what do you believe? Or and what made you come to that point? Or, like, yeah, that would be so much more productive and engaging, and if anything, you know, that would help me see eye to eye a little bit more, at least to have them understand where I'm coming from, or try to, or show empathy and try to be understanding of that.
I wish that would have happened for you. Or would happen. Maybe it's not too late. Maybe it's not too late. Maybe that type of dialogue is still possible in the future. Who knows? But
yeah, definitely. Maybe this conversation will inspire me to bring that up with them again.
Yeah.
We have a bit of a better relationship now. So.
But, you know, I mean, it is kind of sad because I think that's another. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to just like crap on the church like that either, right? You know, this is my family. You know, a lot of people use this analogy where it's like, you know, this is my family, even though there's parts of my family that I'm deeply embarrassed by. And, like, you know, there's like that crazy uncle, but it's still my family, right? And so, you know, I don't want to just like crap on the church, but it is true. Like, I think that a lot of people, and maybe this kind of goes to, the type of, I don't know, education sounds so, you know, stiff, but the kind of education that we give people in the church where, because, you know, in my experience, people who are not really able to dialogue, but get more defensive are people who don't really know how to answer the questions or defend what they believe. Like, not like in like a, you know, I'm going to win an argument sense, but just like, you know, if somebody starts pushing back against something that you believe and you don't really have a good way of articulating what you believe or why you believe it, those are usually the people who get very defensive and then get very aggressive, right? Unfortunately.
Totally,
and
totally.
So, you know, I think a lot of times that is unfortunately what you see when you see people trying to dialogue around faith is people who are getting very defensive.
Yeah, definitely.
So, okay, you've, you know, finally kind of in your high school years, sort of kind of taken a stand and made a decision that, yeah, you know what, I don't believe this and I'm not going to really do this anymore. And so could you just kind of tell me about like, what was the sort of the status of your spirituality at that point? You know, were you kind of still like, well, you know, I'm still spiritual, but I'm just not really into the church thing? Or was it like, I wasn't even spiritual at that point. Like, it was just, you know, more of an atheist or something like that. Like, what was the status at that point?
Yeah, I never identified myself as an atheist, but for a while I was like, yeah, I'm agnostic. I don't even know what that means these days. But just like, I just was younger, just didn't care. Like, I knew in the back of my mind, I'm like, I know I'll have to revisit this, like the bigger meaning of life and what's out there and all that.
Yeah.
But like, at that time, I was like, I just want to, you know, do good in school and hang out with my friends and do my hobbies and, yeah, party and and just live my life and not care about any of this. Like,
yeah.
And so that's kind of where I was.
So it just
at,
was,
at
just
that
wasn't
point.
That big of a concern.
No. I mean, I know that's not for everybody, but at that age, like, I think that's can be quite common. It's like, yeah, that's just isn't a concern for me right now.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So it's not like you were taking some sort of active stance. It's just that it just didn't seem like much of a priority to you at that point in your life. And you were just worrying about doing other things and living your life.
Yeah, definitely. I was just like, you know what? This isn't resonating with me anymore. It's not important to me. I don't really agree with it. But yeah, I'm just going to, like, I still showed up like Christmas and Easter and important times. I would go to church with my family. I wasn't like totally like rebellious and rejecting it in that way. I never had a big traumatic experience or anything other than, you know, maybe the one I briefly said with my mom with that incident, but that, like, there wasn't anything that I was really turned off by like one particular incident that I would refuse to go, but it was just like, yeah, this just isn't, I would go and I just wouldn't pay attention, or I'd roll into church hungover on a Sunday morning. Sorry to tell you that, Jen.
I can't believe you told me that. No, it's very common.
But yes, I was just like, all right, I guess I'll show up. But it just wasn't a priority for me for those years when I was a bit younger. Yeah.
Yeah. What you don't want to think about is the fact that other people are doing that as well, but there are people that are up on the stage and secretly they're like, oh man, I'm so hungover. You know? But yeah, so, okay. And, you know, I think that's an important thing to bring out because, you know, I think a lot of the other people that I am interviewing about this, I think one of the kind of reoccurring themes though, is that for a lot of them, they did experience some sort of deep hurt from the church or from organized religion. And so for a lot of people, I think that is part of their story where, yeah, they experienced something traumatic. But for you, it really sounds like that's not the case at all. But it really just came down to you didn't agree with what was being taught.
Yeah, exactly. So not one incident, but there's just been these tiny little, things throughout my life that I didn't agree with what's being taught, and then these tiny little what I feel like maybe judgments or when I feel preached at or that like what I'm doing isn't right, that have occurred when I've had conversations with people that are faith-based or in the church or whatever, that I just, yeah, that's just kind of like, yeah, turned me off from that for sure.
And actually, if you wouldn't mind, if we could kind of stop, because something that you said that I think is maybe something that a lot of people might say is like, you felt like you were being preached at, right? And I mean, and I guess nobody really likes being preached at. But I think for me, let's say as a person of faith, right? I mean, obviously, one of the things that I would hope to be able to do with people in my life, especially people who, yeah, maybe they don't believe in God or they don't have any kind of faith, is I would want to be able to share this part of, my life and what I feel like is something really important. I would want to be able to share it with them in some way. But I also, at the same time, I'm kind of one of those people where I'm always afraid of being perceived as preaching at somebody or being judgmental or something. Like I go in that direction where I'm like, I'm paralyzed by not wanting to make a misstep in that direction. And so I'm just kind of curious, like, I don't know, like what to you is being preached at versus just having a conversation with somebody about what you believe, right? Like, is there any way to tell somebody about what you believe, like at least in a spiritual sense, without it being perceived as being preached at?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I think just sharing, like, if you completely believe that, deeply passionate about something, like, just sharing it, like, sharing what you believe and why you believe, and that's beautiful. Like, my roommate's Christian. I've had some very amazing conversations that have opened my eyes up to the faith way more than a couple of years ago before I was living with her. So that is absolutely different than I think being preached at is like when, for me at least, feeling judged or like being told what to do and what not to do. Like it's not about, okay, this is what I believe and what I know to be true, and these are examples in my life why I cannot deny this, and like that's beautiful. I'm like, wow, there's if somebody says that to me, like if you were to share stories about your faith, like I'd be with open ears and would listen. But if you start to tell me how what I'm doing in my life is wrong, or how you don't agree with it, or that's going against what Jesus says or the Bible says, or that's when I'm like, okay, that's kind of, to me, like that's crossing a line, and that just makes me like want to totally go the other way, because it's like, oh, okay, you're not. It's that sharing and living by example as well. Like if you're in alignment, I think that's huge for me too. If somebody is in alignment as well with what, literally practicing what they preach, but in the sense of just like sharing and the actions, the way they live their life is in alignment with that, then I think that's really a much that exemplifies that much more than telling somebody what to do and what not to do, and what to believe and what not to believe.
I see. And so, yeah, I mean, maybe part of it is kind of subjective to the person and to the relationship. Because, I'm just kind of thinking like it's if you have somebody who you're really close to, right? Like you guys are really, really close friends. Sometimes in a close relationship, you might say something to that person where it's like, hey, I see this going on in your life, and I don't know if it's the best for you, right? Like,
Oh,
do you feel,
absolutely.
like, do you feel like
Yes,
maybe it
yes.
depends on the relationship as well?
Oh, totally, totally. And I definitely, and I think it's just, it depends on the relationship, the closest. And I think that's huge. Like, if you're being a good friend or close to somebody, is it's important to recognize like when, if you're noticing something that might not be good for them, and to point that out. Like, that's part of, a little bit of tough love for sure. But I think when it's like, if you're taking what your values are and your beliefs and then projecting them onto somebody else, or that's I think when it gets a little bit like, Okay, that's
Yeah.
feels a bit preachy. Yeah, I don't know. I could give an example if
Yeah,
that
sure.
helps.
Yeah. I love an example.
So for example, I recently did a therapeutic like plant medicine session with a counselor. So I've used like mushrooms a few times in a therapeutic setting, and I was doing this, and I had told my roommate a week prior just to let her know that I wanted some quiet time after, and I hadn't really gotten a chance to talk to her about it until like an hour before I was going. And she and her fiance came up to me and really and started asking questions. She was more open-minded, so I didn't feel that way, but then her fiance was much more preachy about it, like in the sense of like, oh, and God, like you're opening up your mind to this potential evil that can come in, and like I believe in the word of God and this kind of stuff. And that just kind of was like again, I was just like, okay, like I didn't ask for your opinion. This is really important to me. You don't know anything about it. You're not asking me why I'm doing this or why it's important. You're just coming in and like from, and this is also from somebody that doesn't know me that well either. So in that case, I was like, all right, like that just made me even, that just changed even the dynamic of our relationship too. Like I was just like, no, like that's not okay. So that's kind of a recent example, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I mean, we won't spend our whole time talking about this, but I think this
Yeah,
is just
no.
personally kind of interesting to me because, yeah, I'm always kind of,
Yeah.
me personally, I'm always sort of walking on eggshells about what is okay to talk about and
Totally.
not talk about, right? And so,
Oh,
like,
yeah.
and so in that example, yeah, maybe if it had been a different person, maybe it's somebody who you had a closer relationship with, and maybe if they had said it differently, because
Yeah,
like.
different person and different time as well. It's like, I'm about to go into this thing. Like, maybe we could have had it, like, this might have, like, I don't, like, like, maybe a week ago, we could have had a good discussion, but an hour before I'm about to do this, like, that's not, like,
Because, I mean,
yeah.
if I was going to play like sort of, I mean, I hate using this term, but I don't know what a better term for it is, but
Devil's
like if I
advocate.
was going to play the devil's advocate, right? Like if I was a
Yeah.
person who really believed that, like doing drugs is like some sort of gateway that opens you up to spiritual attack or something like that. Like if I was a person who really believed that, and then you were about to go into, do something having to do with drugs, like I could see how that person would perceive it as, because I care about this person, I have to say something, don't I? Because I don't want them to, step into something that's going to open them up to some sort of spiritual attack or something like that, right? So I mean, just to kind of give the other perspective of probably what they're thinking. I mean, it sounds like though, like in terms of kind of like what you said before about like kind of the way that he said things and the way that he approached it also sounds like it was not the best.
Yeah, definitely. And I totally see, and that's where they're coming from. But yeah, and again, and there's a fine line, and we all make mistakes, but in the way that we communicate at times. But yeah, definitely. I think you touched on something earlier. It's just those why questions, like getting curious, and asking why, and yeah, just I guess in this specific example, having a certain relationship with the person, and then also timing, I think really being cautious of when is an appropriate time to have those kind of conversations and when isn't. I think we could all remember that as well.
So then at some point, it sounds like you kind of moved more to a place where you identified more as sort of a spiritual person, right? Rather than this person who was just kind of agnostic and like, hey, it's not really top of mind. I'm just living my life. But at some point, it sounds like you moved into more of a spiritual place, a spiritual but not religious, but a spiritual place. And so, could you just share a little bit about like, yeah, when did that happen and how did that happen?
Yeah, I guess a couple years ago it started. Again, kind of slow fade out and slow fade in. So it wasn't like this big event or anything either. It was just these, in the back of my mind, I always knew there was, I can't deny that there's some sort of higher power. There's something that cannot be explained by science alone, like the serendipity, like the, little coincidences that happen in life, even miracles that cannot be explained. Like there's just something out there. And so I think what really happened was a couple years ago, I just felt a little bit more grounded in the way I was living my life and felt like, and just had allowed a little bit more space, like started engaging in more journaling and reading and taking time. Like I've started doing yoga and meditation, and I just started reading more books, I guess, that were spiritually focused. I've done got intrigued about and done a little bit of plant medicine, and I just sort of was drawn to, okay, like having faith in the universe or a higher power, the divine or something. And I still can't, unlike Christianity, that something isn't as well defined for me, or not, it isn't yet, but definitely I am more drawn to that because I think that there's just so much that cannot be explained. And I also think that you can't tap into like your true purpose and your true calling if you don't believe in like in a higher power. So for me, I think that was the big catalyst, was there's something in me that's like so trying to figure out, what am I here for? Like why am I on this earth? Like what is it? What are my gifts? What's my calling or my vocation? And in part of that journey of to discovering that, like I like can't go down that path without tapping into the spiritual part of me or the spirituality. It just it's yeah it'd be Because if you're so pragmatic in the way of thinking, it's not, at least from my experience, it's not possible. So a couple years ago, I think, yeah.
That's interesting, because it's really interesting to hear you say that even though you kind of left that your Christianity, the faith thing behind, it sounds like what I'm hearing you say is that there was the catalyst was that you still had sort of these this sense or even longing within you for meaning and purpose, greater meaning and
Yes.
purpose. And
Yes.
anyway, I mean, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it also kind of sounds like you, because it doesn't seem like you were thoroughly investigating all of these questions, these, essential questions to the meaning of life and all that stuff and philosophy. But it seems like you already sort of had an instinct and an intuition that trying to find that greater meaning and purpose apart from some sort of spiritual truth, like you kind of already instinctively knew that that was a dead end and there wasn't really an answer there. And so that kind of opened you up to exploring more of the spiritual side.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think I, as you mentioned, I don't think I did it purposely. I wasn't researching or, but I just, anything that I was drawn to, like reading a lot of books, for example, like there's always, at least I was drawn to the ones that had this spiritual component, and that really, really resonated with me. So yeah, the catalyst I think was trying to find deeper meaning and purpose in, I guess, my own life rather than the meaning of life or the big on a broader scale. It's more just for me, like what is my purpose? And then it's now has expanded to a more broader spiritual sense.
I see. And and if I could kind of just like just to get a little bit more personal with it, like that sort of journey of wanting to discover, like, yeah, what is my purpose? What is my calling? Like, do you feel, okay, let me put it into context, because I feel like some of the other people that I've talked to, that their sort of journey into more of a spiritual path was the catalyst was maybe some sort of pain or some sort of hardship or some sort of tragedy. Like, obviously, it doesn't sound like that's what you're describing, but I guess I'm just trying to get a sense of when you say that you did have this sense of wanting to, you know, find sort of like a greater purpose and greater meaning. I guess I'm just wondering if that was coming out of any sense of like, yeah, I even though I was living my life and stuff, like I felt like maybe there was something missing, or it's not exactly pain, right? But kind of coming out of a sense of lack. Or was it just more like, no, I just think that there's probably got to be something more to life, and so I'm going to look for it, you know?
Yeah, I think the sense of lack is the best way to describe it. I think for me, a lot of it was career, just navigating, you know, what do I want to be doing with my time? I think we all just spend most of our time working. That's just the way our society is set up. So, like, what am I really meant to be doing here? And that, like, here as in on Earth. And so it's, you know, it started with like, oh, what should I do for work? What do I like? What do I not like? I explored many different avenues within my career and still am, but a bigger in that journey has been that, like, oh, okay, what is my greater purpose? And then also, and then that gets more spiritual, like, okay, I'm doing, like, say, whether I believe I'm created necessarily or not, but I do believe that we all have our own special gifts inside of us, and it's like we're meant to use those gifts and to share those with the world, and we're doing a disservice to both ourselves and everybody else if we don't do that. And so in order to discover that, to listen to your intuition, to listen to your heart, to be drawn to what lights you up, like, there, at least for me, like, it's, you have to have faith, like, faith in something, faith in the higher power, faith that if you do take a risk or take a leap or try something, that if it's really what you're meant to be doing, or if you're following your intuition, that you will be taken care of. And that is something, yeah, new for me in the last couple of years. I never used to think like that, but because I have this more deeper spiritual connection now, that's something that's part of my belief system now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's very much a work in progress.
Yes, definitely. Like, there wasn't this big pain point, like you mentioned, with other people that caused me to find some deeper meaning. It was just it's a work in progress.
Yeah, like,
can't
even
clearly define it, but
like, you just have growing, maybe it's a sense of like growing beliefs in different things.
Yes.
Even though they're not clearly defined. And it sounds like you're also open to the fact that it is like you're on a journey, and it's not like what you currently believe. You're not saying like, this is what is, you know, this is what I think is the truth of the universe, but it's just, at least to this point, this is what I've got so far. And there may be more, you know, as I keep going, like, you're open to the fact that your beliefs may continue to grow and evolve and change.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm totally open to that. That, like, if, you know, I have an experience or learn something new, and that could evolve, that could change. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
If we could just kind of stay here for a second, like, I guess you have been sort of kind of articulating some of what you have now come to believe, but I'm wondering if there's any more that you could sort of, like, you know, it's almost like if I could ask you for sort of a progress report in terms of your your journey of spirituality. Like, I mean, maybe this is sort of the pastor theologian in me. Like, I'm just kind of curious, like, what are some of your current beliefs about, you know, God, or I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know what the questions are. Like a God. a creator, about the purpose of your life, about whatever. Like, if you were going to try to put your finger on, like, sort of, I think this is kind of what I believe right now. Like, I just would be curious to hear what that might be.
Yeah, I think, so I guess I just don't believe in one specific God, but I do believe that there's this higher power. There's something out there that's more, that we can't see or explain. I believe that, like, that the universe, like, we're all connected, like, humans, animals, plants, like every living being has consciousness. And so that's, I think, a huge part of my belief system now is like I think our society is very, human focused, and that we're kind of the center of everything. And so I believe in the consciousness, I think, of all of our earth and plants and everything that's alive there. That I know that's really, really vague, I guess,
No,
right now, but
that.
it's just, yeah, it's like it's
Everything is connected.
everything's connected. And that, yeah, so I just that we need to, in terms of for First Nations or Indigenous cultures, I think we have a lot to learn from them, and like how connected they are to plants and using those as medicine and like some certain rituals and healing. Like there's that component, and they have a lot of spiritual practices that I think are really valuable. And so for me, I think it's as you mentioned, definitely a work in progress, but I'm very open to learning about these different spiritual traditions and teachings from whether it be different religions or cultures. And yeah, just kind of choosing or just what really feels right to me. So it's hard to define at this point, but I think it will be a continually evolving process and something that I'm excited to continue to explore more.
Well, if I could say that those two beliefs that you currently have, Christianity is not out of the running yet. So I just throw that in there. I would say the Bible is in alignment with those two statements that you just made. So
There we go.
it's
There we
not out
go. So
yet.
yeah, it's
The
not out.
pastor in me has to say that.
You may convince me otherwise. We'll see.
It's we're not disqualified yet. Something that we had spoken about was that you were also maybe interested in or somewhat drawn to the idea of reincarnation and maybe possibly karma. And so I was wondering if you could maybe say something about kind of your current thoughts on that.
Yeah, definitely. I think probably more karma would be, it's a concept that I've always just kind of lived by. Like, I mean, it's kind of like the golden rule in my, how I see it, but just really like doing good, and like good things will happen. And if you're intentionally harming others or not doing good onto others, like, not that something's out to get you, but like it, kind of what goes around comes around a little bit. So I do, it's funny though, because everybody has their own judgment, of course, of what's good and what's bad. And so that's a little bit difficult, but it is something that's just kind of been in my mind. And yeah, then reincarnation, it's a concept I'm open to. I wouldn't say I necessarily believe in it, but then at the same time, I do think there are some old souls and some young souls, and it's something I'm open to. I'm like, that could definitely, I can see how that could be true. I am not diehard absolute believe that could be true. I guess that's kind of how I am with everything. It's hard for me to, with 100% confidence, believe anything to be true. So with
I
that,
mean, which is good because in a sense that's good, right? Because you're an honest investigator of these things, I feel like. You're not pre-committed to anything.
Totally, exactly. So that concept, I'm like, yeah, I could definitely see that, but I'm not 100% convinced either.
So I mean, that's just kind of just interesting to me because, I think a lot of times when I think of somebody who is spiritual or spiritual but not religious, sometimes I feel like it's very ambiguous. And so it's nice to be able to kind of hear you articulate a little bit. And, you know, obviously it is somewhat ambiguous because you're still figuring it out. You're still figuring out what you do believe. And so, you know, but it is kind of nice to hear sort of like, what are some of the things that you have gained, or what are some of the things that you have come to embrace and believe, even if they're still forming and not completed thoughts yet. So, you know, I mean, something that I'm kind of curious about is, you know, so for like a Christian, you know, we have sort of this authority at the center of our faith, or at least for like an evangelical Christian, and which is supposed to be like the Bible, right? And so at least the idea is that what we believe arises out of the teaching of the Bible, and that, you know, we check what we believe against the Bible to see, okay, are we in alignment with it? So that kind of sits as sort of the center. We have sort of that primary source to go to ask like, okay, what do we believe is the truth? And so I'm just kind of curious, for somebody who is, you know, obviously not attached to the Bible or any necessarily like sacred text or anything like that, like for you, as you're sort of on this spiritual journey and as you're kind of discovering things and learning things and, you know, adopting some things, and what is your guide? Like, how do you decide like what you believe is true and what you don't believe is true? Like, I'm just really curious, like, how that works.
Yeah, great question. I guess I don't really have one specific guide. I think a huge part for me is just internally, like my intuition, like, okay, does this feel right? Does this not feel right? Like, listening to that inner compass is huge for me. And then just, it's a variety of books or texts or lessons that just really resonate with me, that, yeah, I don't really have like a specific one guide telling me that what's right or what's wrong or what exactly to believe in. Maybe I will figure that out as as time progresses. Yeah. But right now it's that kind of inner knowing. Like, I think a big part of my journey is listening to that inner voice and really just believing that rather than what's on the outside.
Yeah, not relying on an external source to tell you what is true or what is right, but inside.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, do you ever, so you know, like for Christians, like we have sort of this built-in belief from the Bible, which is that sometimes our inner voice can't be trusted.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, there's like this whole, you know, like the doctrine of sin and all that stuff. But, you know, to throw aside kind of the theological language, just this sense of like, I'm not totally reliable, right? That sometimes I'm wrong, or sometimes my, like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I'm just unreliable. And so, you know, like, I think for the Christian, there's kind of like this built-in sense of like, I shouldn't totally trust my own judgment all the time, right? And so I'm just kind of curious for you, do you ever have that? Because it sounds like right now, and, you know, like you said, it could change over time, but right now, primarily the compass is like your intuition and your feeling. Does this feel right? Is there any kind of sense of that as well for you, where it's kind of like, yeah, but maybe I'm not always right. Or maybe my intuition is not always the best. Like, is there any sense of that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, especially if I'm talking to a Christian like yourself, like, I'm like, oh, wow, that's true. What if I'm not right? and I think, again, I think this will develop, but I think for so long I was too worried about external validation and the external sources that I've needed to kind of go the other way to like listen to this inner voice of mine. And yeah, it definitely is a concern, because like we're so, like our neural pathways are built to believe, like we have this belief system based on our experiences, and that could be, we can totally be biased and skewed. And yeah, so to have something that's really a guide would be phenomenal in terms of be able to go to that, especially when facing big decisions or struggles in life or challenges, but there's not been this one guide that I've been able to find. But yeah, it's definitely something that, it's a good point, Jay, actually, that like, okay, maybe I can't always trust myself, but at the same time, I think, I guess I'm just using my own life experiences in the past when I've really listened to my gut and or trusted that intuition. Like, it's only led to good things, both for my, I guess, for myself, but then that has the ripple effect of good onto other people as well. So, yeah, that's just what I'm going with for now.
So I think previously when we had spoken, and you kind of mentioned this earlier too, that your roommate is actually a Christian, but that, you know, that that had been a positive experience. And so I'm just kind of curious, like, what that's been like interacting and having a relationship with a Christian that is positive, and how that, any of that has played into sort of your spiritual journey.
Yeah, she's definitely a positive example. And I think that's mainly it's because she's very accepting and loving and open-minded. Like, she absolutely has her beliefs, and but she lives completely in alignment with them. So I think that's just so, that authenticity is, I think, just a huge value of mine. And so just seeing that, okay, like what she talks about and what she believes in, that's really how she's trying to live her everyday life. And then just hearing her views on some of the Christian point of view, like we just have to think of the concept of, okay, we just have different views. Like, I have a different worldview than she necessarily has. And so we may not see eye to eye on certain topics. Like, for example, I know this is different across different churches, but like homosexuality, for example, is still something that she doesn't believe is right. Whereas that's something that I absolutely don't agree with. Like, I do think that it's and so, but like hearing her explain from the Christian perspective and her worldview, I don't agree with it, but I, it was in a way that I'm like, okay, I can understand where you're coming from your view. And so it's just one of those, just being able to have those conversations in a non-judgmental manner and seeing the way she lives her life and the beautiful community that she has around her. And that's just really, it's had a positive impact on me for sure of how I view the church.
Yeah. And I think you had mentioned before that some of kind of what you see, not only in your roommate, but also what you see in sort of some of her Christian community, has had an influence on kind of how you've also begun to move into some of your practices and kind of opening yourself up to, you know, kind of engaging other women in these like groups and things like that. Could you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, well, she's always been really devoted in the sense of every morning she would wake up, you know, a couple hours before she needs to go to work or have her quiet, sacred time for her spiritual practices in the morning. And I think it's something just being around that every day in that environment has, I've kind of adopted those practices for myself, obviously in a different way, but taking that time to be with myself, like absolutely no technology and no influence from anything, and doing a yoga practice and meditation and journaling, like that's been a huge practice of mine that I think I've been influenced by that from her. And then, yeah, the sense of community, that's something that I think is so strong in the church. And it's something that I like, especially around the shared values. And yeah, it's something that I'd realized that was lacking a little bit in my life. I've, you know, I've have tons of friends, but in terms of ones that can get into more of these deeper, more meaningful conversations or have similar values and to get together on a regular basis and show up consistently. And so having those, I mean, that's Christianity. There's different community groups that people meet on, of course, some different days of the week, or obviously going to church on Sundays, but for me, I was like, oh, I can create this. There should be something like this that doesn't need to necessarily be faith-based. And so that's part of what has inspired me to create these women's groups where we talk about like more intentional conversations. And it's really another thing really is like living an examined life. Like that's something that she's really, we had some great conversations about, like, you know, at the end of the day, like it's not about what you did, but it's about if what you did mattered. And so that has really stuck with me. And whether it's from a Christian standpoint or not, like, I think just living an intentional and examined life is so important to me. And it's one of those things that I want to help inspire others to do the same. And part of why I'm starting a podcast and doing these women's groups is because of that. And so that may look a little bit different from my perspective and point of view, but it's definitely, I think, been inspired from being around her and her faith as well, for sure.
Yeah. You can see the value in the practices, even if you don't necessarily believe in the God and, you know, agree with the doctrine. But yeah, you know, I mean, because even for myself, like, I mean, this is not exactly the same as you, because obviously I'm still Christian, but, you know, sometimes I look back on some of my past church experiences, you know, where, you know, maybe it was a little bit more like who I am now, I wouldn't completely agree with, you know, their perspectives on things. They're a little bit more conservative than I would be now. But I still go back and I see, like, there's so much beauty in some of those traditions that they have, and, you know, just like the family and, yeah, like the community, like you described, the gathering together, the sharing of your life, you know, and having these kind of like really deep and meaningful conversations on a regular basis, you know, asking people like, hey, what's really going on in your life, you know, these days, you know, going beyond the superficiality and yeah, so there's so much beauty that I see in that. And so I don't know, I guess I like the fact that you also kind of see that as well and pick up on that.
Oh, absolutely. And another, and the sense of community, even going a step further, like really showing up for each other too. Like when somebody is going through a hard time or even like a new baby being born, you're you're a dad, right? So you just like,
we just experienced that. Yeah. So we just had a baby a couple months ago in the church, you know, coming around us, bringing us meals and things
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. And that's just something that's not in our current society, like just not really, unless you're part of a church, I don't know if that's really, it's not a very common thing in like a typical group of friends or something. Like it's just, it's really cool that the community gathers. If you need something or any type of life event, like they're there, you have support. Like it's, so that part's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Katie, thank you so much. I know that we, you know, we had a very wide-ranging conversation here, and I really appreciate that you were willing to kind of just share very honestly and openly your journey. And I also appreciate your humility that, you know, you acknowledge even that you don't have the answers, that all of this is sort of a work in progress, all of this is tenuous, and some of what you believe might change. But I think that it was, you know, the things that you've shared are going to be really helpful for a person like me and, you know, people who are Christians in the church, maybe just to have a better sense of, you know, the ways in which maybe we hurt people and also maybe in some of the ways in which we are actually very strong and we have really beautiful things to offer the world, but they just maybe get covered up by some of the ugliness that comes out of the church as well. And so, you know, I feel like what you shared today is just so such gold, so valuable for us. I really appreciate you taking time.
Aw, thank you so much for your kind words. Yeah, definitely. I hope that people can learn from it and just understand different perspectives and recognize what's good and what can be improved upon, and sharing these stories are really such a how we all learn from each other, right? So it's been great having this conversation.
The closing song for this episode, Take Me to New Heights, is by Omyra Caban. For more music from Omyra Caban, you'll find a link in the episode description. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share this episode with a friend or on social media. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Jay, you can visit dailysabbath.com or our Instagram account at dailysabbath.
Perfect. Take my